everybody. Good morning. Good morning. Hey, what is going on, guys? Good morning. Welcome in. This is the Sports Flood. Happy Saturday to you and to all of your daily chores that have now been put onto Saturday because, well, you're actually off work now and you can actually go do some of these chores. Like, I have to still go get some, what my wife calls just dirt, to go put into some plants that we're putting outside. So that's what I got to do after the show. Don't act like you don't got stuff like that to do. It's also really, really nice outside. A beautiful day here in North Alabama. It is so good to have you guys aboard for the Sports Flood. Man, always coming in hot for things to talk about. Last night, history was made. Something happened for the first time in 55 years. That's over half a century. That's a long time. We will discuss that. Also, oh, Bubba. Bubba Watson, who did not make the cut because he played bad golf, got into a little bit of a tussle with the one group of people you cannot tussle with and cannot make jokes about: journalists. The sanctimonious, maybe the most sanctimonious group on the planet, and he was forced to apologize. We'll talk about that as well, because, you know, you can't make jokes anymore. Jokes used to be fun. Even if they aren't jokes, sometimes you can just say you don't respect what someone else does, and that'd be okay. Like, there are people here in North Alabama, I don't respect what they do. I'm not going to apologize to them. I'm not going to put out a video and say, I'm sorry, I was making a joke. I just don't respect you, bruh. Or bruhette. We'll talk about that story as well and play for you his apology video, which was dynamite. And speaking of history, today is a very special anniversary in baseball. And we're going to talk about that coming up in just a few moments. If you'd like to get into the show, Twitter is the best way to do it, or the text number as well. Twitter is at Arkishe, and the text number, which you should already just put into your phone now, 910-663-5663. Any time of the day, any time you want, you can text that number your thoughts, your opinions, your swear words. Sometimes they'll get on the air. Also, by the way, a little note that most people don't know, that you can actually call that number. It'll go to a voicemail we have set up. But if you're, let's say, really lubricated and really don't like what something's happening on the TV, or really like not happening with the Braves, which is winning apparently, we may be able to play those on air too. May have to do some editing because, well, you may be lubricated. But there is a station call-in number just to leave a voicemail. And that's that same number. So you can call that 910-663-5663 number and leave a voicemail as well if you like. But first, hot out the gate. History happens in basketball last night. Russell Westbrook clinched the MVP. And it really was only a matter of a couple more days before we actually did it. Because Russell Westbrook needed just 6 assists going into last night total for the rest of the season to average double-digit assists through the season. He had already averaging double-digit points and double-digit rebounds, and now he's averaging double-digit assists, which means that is the vaunted triple-double. And no matter what he does the rest of the season, he will average a triple-double. And that's the first time since Oscar. We haven't heard that name so much in one season in a long time. But 55 years ago, Oscar Robertson averaged a triple-double. And ironically enough and oddly enough, did not win the MVP. In fact, wasn't even close to the MVP that season. But Russell Westbrook's the MVP this year. Because what Russell Westbrook is doing this year is in a class all by itself. He's not averaging 9.5 to 10 points a game. He's not averaging 15 or 20 or 20. He's averaging nearly 32 points a game. He's on pace, and he's pretty close, too, since we're going into the final week of the season. Leading the league in scoring again, which would give him his second scoring title. Raise your hand if you remember Russell Westbrook had already won a scoring title. Now that monster goes into the playoffs with a scoring title, averaging a triple-double, and now going to be the MVP. It's too bad his team's not going to win anything, because despite all of the praise we're giving him right now, and me, and all of it's deservedly so, that team lost last night. And in two of his biggest moments this year as far as individual achievements, his team lost. There's just not enough around him. Last night it was like some of the loss was on him. He started the game 0-for-6 from the field in the first quarter. That's not what Russell Westbrook does. And he was taken out of the game with a few minutes left before he could even get a triple-double last night, because there's really only one number they're looking at the rest of the year anyway. And that's to get him past Oscar Robertson as far as most triple-doubles in a season? And ever? He's trying. Well, he thought they were trying. Took him out without 2.5 minutes to go. He was 2 assists shy of the triple-double last night. But the thing that makes Russell Westbrook so far and away the best candidate for Player of the Year this year is because what would Oklahoma City be without Russell Westbrook? If Russell Westbrook had not re-upped for 2 more years and just gone anywhere he wanted, if there was no Russ, where would Oklahoma City be? Because who are they getting back? This is the same franchise that had James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and Kevin Durant all on the same team. Harden goes away. Durant goes away. And now Russell Westbrook is the last bastion of hope for that team. Victor Oladipo is not going to get you 21 points a game. No one on that team can do what they are doing, which is well enough to get you into the playoffs, if you don't have a guy like Russell Westbrook. And it's obviously not just his points, but his assists too. To average over 10 a game with the conglomeration of players that are there, like Steven Adams and Oladipo and Roberson, there are no words for what kind of passer that guy has been this year and how he has made it easy for them this year. Why is he so much better than James Harden? Well, think about where James Harden and the Houston Rockets were last year. Terrible. Terrible enough that they got their coach fired. All of a sudden, they're the number 3 seed in the West. What changed? Did James Harden all of a sudden learn how to play great defense, become a great scorer, see the court better? Or did they change coaches? And as much crap as we give Mike D'Antoni over the years, because he's had some bad times outside of Phoenix, it has been a hard road to hoe for him. I speak from experience. Go Knicks. Outside of the time in Phoenix, what has he been? He's been a guy struggling to find the right kind of distributor, the right kind of player with that offense. And he comes to Houston and he finds that guy? What changed was the coach. James Harden changed not that much. Now, he does distribute the ball himself a lot better than he did last year. In fact, leading the league in assists. But what changed was the coach and the offensive system. And it's not to take away completely from what James Harden has done this season because, well, he's a man-child. This season has been crazy for him. But Russell Westbrook is playing like a man possessed. And normally, I wouldn't say just leading the league in scoring gets you the MVP. But he's doing something we haven't done in half a century. And this isn't one of those new age metrics, one of these BPI, the basketball power indexes. This isn't one of these analytics that we have to figure out a scoring proficiency and efficiency and how many points does his team average per 100 possessions versus the other guy. This isn't that. This is pure, simple, back to basic statistics. And that is that he's going to average a triple-double in an entire NBA season for the first time that's happened in this league in 55 years. When you're doing something that hasn't been done in half a century, there has got to be some kind of recognition for it. When you're doing something that involves the name Oscar Robertson on the court, there's got to be some kind of legitimate recognition. And to add on top of that, you're going to be pretty darn close, if not winning it, because there's still a couple of games left for both of the teams, to winning the scoring title too? Guys, bruhs. It's an easy vote now. James Harden is doing what we've seen a lot of players do. Just play out of their mind offensively. Play a lot of, still, selfish ball. Get a lot of shots up. But it's not the full breadth and width of this investigation into the MVP to just say James Harden's team is going to be number three in the West. Russell Westbrook's going to be sixth. Case closed. I went back and forth on this even as much as 2 weeks ago. And I thought there's a legitimate case for James Harden. And there still is. But the tiebreaker goes to history. The tiebreaker goes to the guy that did something Oscar Robertson did that we haven't seen in half a hundo years. That's the tiebreaker. Now, as we wrap up the season, I hope some of you start to see where I'm coming from now. Because I love to hate Russell Westbrook. I do. It's a bone of contention to me. I'm frustrated by him. I'm frustrated with why Russell Westbrook looks like he's playing with the fire of a thousand suns every single play. And I'm frustrated by why he's got such a scowl on his face every single possession. But it's worked for him. And maybe it's that fire. Maybe it's that fuel. Maybe it's the divorce from Kevin Durant that's just fueled him to keep going this entire season. He's the second player ever to do this. It's Russell Westbrook. Not one of the all-time great names you'd expect. Like, hey, maybe Magic Johnson would be in that game. No. Maybe LeBron James would have done that. No. Because he is such a player that can score, and he's unselfish enough. He sees the court well, and he rebounds too. There is nobody in this league that has played a better 2016-17 than Russell Westbrook. And it pains me only a little bit to say it. But that scowl has brought him the MVP. .37 points per game, too. Lord help me. Lord help me. It's not even close. He's top 10 in the league in all three categories. 1 in scoring, 10th in rebounds, 10th in rebounds, and 3rd in assists, and double digits in all of them. That's it, guys. That's the whole story. That's all you need to know. Russell Westbrook earned it last night. MVP. Going to take a quick time out here on the Sports Club. When we come back, Bubba Watson did not play a good round of golf, but it did not mean he stayed out of the news. That story and his apology for what he calls a joke, which may not have been a joke, but didn't have to be a joke. All that coming up next. Sports Club. Live here on the Sports Flood. Glad to have you guys aboard the ship as we keep on setting sail on this Saturday. This is a beautiful Saturday here in North Alabama. You can get your phone calls in as well if you'd like to. 866-485-9867. Because here's a doozy. Mr. Bubba Watson did not make the cut at the Masters. And that is bad news for, well, mainly Bubba. I don't really miss him making the cut. I kind of watch this weekend regardless of who's playing. But it's bad for Bubba. He shot a +8 over the weekend. Didn't make it to the weekend. On Thursday and Friday, +8 overall. That missed the cut by 2 strokes. Not a good week. Not a good week for him. And you know what? He didn't take it well. Or at least he didn't perceive to take it well. Maybe you could be the judge on this. Maybe I'm mistaking on this. He has a bad week, goes +8, and then he said to reporters, golf is tough. I don't know if you've ever played it, but writing articles is easy. Now, that was coming off the course on Friday when it looked like he was about to miss the cut, which he eventually did. Golf is tough. I don't know if you've ever played it, but writing articles is easy. Bubba Watson then went back to say that he wanted to apologize by using this. This is when he was quoted by Gene Sapikoff, and Gene Sapikoff is a columnist for the Post and Courier. Great. He said, I was joking, but it was obviously a bad joke. Didn't mean to offend anyone. I apologize. Okay. So then could have just left it there. But no, Bubba wanted to give us a video apology. And he did on his Twitter. So with lush green in the background, not on the course, obviously, and him just wearing just a T-shirt, he looks into the camera and he delivers this solemn address.
Hey, guys. Bubba Watson here. What I was trying to say is make a joke. It was 30-mile-an-hour winds. Golf is hard. And if Bubba Watson tried to write an article, that would be very hard. And what I was saying to the reporter is golf is hard. So if he tried to play golf, it would be very tough. Writing an article is a little easier for him than it is for me. It was a joke. I love all journalists. Obviously, I made a bad joke. Just like I played bad golf this week.
Bubba, you so funny, man. You so funny. I believe it was a joke to start off with. But I don't believe he needed to apologize for it. I also believe that it's a joke that he probably doesn't respect and love all journalists, as he just said. Because he doesn't have to. He doesn't have to respect and love all journalists. Because it doesn't matter if he cares about them. And it doesn't matter if he makes a joke. And if one guy got his feelings hurt, wanted to post the tweet to get a little bit of reaction, that's his prerogative. But, and this is a big but, please stop with all your holier-than-thou stuff. Please. This is golf. All right? I respect a lot of journalists. Not all of them. I respect the ones who go after the government, mainly. Ones who are questioning the president on things he does. Ones that are questioning the governor on things that he does. That press I definitely need. The golf press? Eh. How much do you need them? And by no means am I calling for the abolition of any press corps. But it feels to me in the last year and a half that the press has gotten a little holier than thou, a little sanctimonious, and it's even more disheartening when you hear it's about sports. This isn't a scandal that you're not being given the Freedom of Information Act request on. This isn't a possible nuisance to a huge story. This isn't a rumor of an extramarital affair by a coach or a recruiting violation made by an assistant or booster. There's no crime happening here. Bubba Watson said, "Have you tried playing golf? Writing articles is easy." Okay. Can we get off our high horse a little bit here? Playing golf is hard. And depending upon the subject and your writing level, writing articles is kind of easy. Especially if you choose that field. But it's all by comparison. It's all relative, people. I don't know why everyone wants to get their butts hurt over everything anymore. The fact that Bubba Watson felt the need to apologize twice for a stupid comment that no one would remember an hour after he said it is baffling to me. It's buffoonery. If the guy asks you a question, don't be a jerk, answer it. And if you answer it snarkily, or you just don't like what they do, or you think what you do is easier or harder than what they do, I don't really care. It's nothing. It's a zero. And Bubba Watson felt enough pressure from people, I'm guessing some of those people were going to be journalists, to say, do you have any idea what we do? These golf correspondents aren't going to war. These golf correspondents aren't actually reporting on matters that actually matter. They're reporting on a golf tournament. Yeah, I want to read about the coverage. but I read a lot less than what I just watch. I'm not going to tell you that your job is super easy. I know more so in radio what is easy and what is not easy. And I know there are other stations in this great country, in this great state, even in this great North Alabama area, that take the easy way out of radio. They just play pre-recorded interviews constantly over and over again, or press conferences, or just go to the phones and say, call this number and tell us who you like in this. I could tell you that that's easy because I've been around it. And I know what it's like to do 4 hours of radio a day and another hour on Saturdays. I know what it's like. But I'm not going to get holier than now if you come over here and say, hey, what you do is easy. I'm like, okay, fine. What do? Probably a harder job than I do anyway. What Bubba Watson does is harder than a professional writer is to write an article. It is. He missed the cut. This guy didn't miss his deadline for the article. What's harder? A deadline you have to be in by, but you meet, and you're always in the paper? Or a guy who's going home because he wasn't able to hit the ball right in the winds? So yeah. It is easier because he chose that path because this Gene Sapochoff chose the path to write. He's obviously better at it than a lot of people. Most people probably. He's probably got a lot more experience doing that. But if you compare one to the other, I'm going to say golf's harder. I'm going to say golf in general is harder. You'll miss the cut when you're a professional writer, especially when you're a newspaper deadline writer. Especially when deadlines now can be pushed back, or if your article doesn't get in the paper, which you definitely want it to be, you can still go on the online. And you still have a way to get your stuff online with your Twitter, with your Facebook, at the very desperate occasions, or just with the online version of your newspaper. 866-485-9867. It's just unnecessary to apologize to a golf writer because you jokingly, and that's my opinion that he said jokingly, but even if he didn't say jokingly, he doesn't think that what you do is as hard as what he does. You listening to this show right now, and I appreciate that, by the way, probably don't think what I do is harder than what you do. And you know what? You're right. I don't have a manual labor job, but I chose this job because it was something that I was good at and I was told that I was good at. Whether or not you believe it or not, that's where the opinion comes in. My Abby says I was good, but that's okay. You don't have to like it. Let's go to the phone lines now. Good morning. Who is this?
Good morning, Archie. It's Danny.
What's up, Danny?
Not much. My whole thing about this is Bubba is getting to act every time something doesn't go his way. He starts acting like a 13-year-old. I agree with everything you just said, but what gets under my skin about this is, you know, he acts like a spoiled teenager every time things don't go right for him.
Danny, that's a separate issue, but you are right. I mean, this is just the latest in a string of events of him acting a little bit like a Richard, and just being a spoiled little rich kid who plays golf. And when things don't go quite his way, he has a side word to say about things, and it's not fair. It's not fair to us as those people who are trying to root for him, but it's also not fair to him because I guess he's already made what he's going to be. He's told us what he's going to be. I guess this is just going to be Bubba Watson is, and he's not going to get any more fans by whining about anything.
You know, I try to root for Southerners, but let's face it, this guy's such a metrosexual jerk. He makes you look like a redneck, you know, and it's hard for me to root for somebody like that. Because, you know, they feel entitled, or they've already made their point in life, and they just don't care anymore. And that's the way I'm starting to see Bubba, where, you know, he's got all he wants, and, you know, he doesn't care if he wins tournaments anymore. Just show up, cash a check when he can, and go on his merry way, jump in the General Lee replica and ride around and all that. But, you know, that's why, you know, I've basically stopped rooting for him.
Yeah, I think I was about to say, the last time I believe I heard many Southerners actually enjoy anything Bubba did was probably when he bought the General Lee. That's about the last time I heard anything about that.
But anyway,
Danny, thanks for
three guys are doing well in the tournament, so I'm not really worried about it. So.
Yeah, good. Danny, enjoy the tournament,
all
man.
Right, buddy.
Talk to
you later.
Danny T calling in. And I agree. Now, that's a separate issue Danny T brings up, which is him being a little bit whiny. Yeah, it is. He is being whiny. And to me, I don't see what he said to Gene Sapikoff as being whiny. I guess there's a tinge to it, but I see it more as sort of just a quip. You ever tried golf? It's hard. What you do is easy. I see it more as a quip, as opposed to him just being whiny and complaining. What I see the whininess is from journalists who think that they have been attacked by a golfer, and by fans who think that he is being unreasonable by saying, I don't think what you guys do is very hard. Just fine. It's not all hard. Not everything is difficult. What you guys do is much harder than what I do. Trust me, what my wife does every day at work is harder than what I do. I mean, I wake up earlier, but other than that, what I do is easy. At least that's what she would tell me. I don't know what you guys do, but seems pretty easy. You ever try to do radio? It's hard. 866-485-9867. Listen, I've never been a Bubba Watson fan anyway, so this doesn't break my heart that I'm not going to see him this weekend, that he had this ridiculous opinion. But this is his opinion. Golf writers, golf journalists, which, by the way, I'm going to call you a writer until you uncover something. And I don't mean what Bubba's favorite ice cream flavor is. Until you're doing the real work of uncovering things to try to keep this country great, to keep your city great, if you're out there going day to day, pounding the pavement and doing what you can to make sure whatever field you're in is better, uncovering the dirt especially. I don't know if I like using the word journalist. I like writer. Doesn't matter to me. Be that way, people. We got history that's happening today. History. Something happened 43 years ago today that we need to pay a little homage to here on the home of the Atlanta Braves. Next. Welcome back into the Sports Flood. I Like Pie tweets in, which you can't at Archie Shea. A very, very good point that we need to make up real quick about Bubba Watson and his comments that golf is harder than writing articles. He tweets, is having an easy job a bad thing? Hell, the easier the better, in my opinion. We should consider that. Maybe having an easier job than somebody else's is not such a bad thing. And maybe, just maybe, Bubba Watson was complimenting Mr. Sapikoff. Or maybe he was just pointing out something that Mr. Sapikoff had forgotten. How blessed he is to have such an easy job. Good tweet by you, Mr. Laces. So today is a very special day in baseball history. April's got a couple of them. One's coming up in about a week, when we have the introduction of Frank Robinson into baseball, because obviously became the first black player to play in Major League Baseball. So that's a great day that we'll talk about when it comes. But today is a great day because 43 years ago today, Hank Aaron hit number 715. Happened 43 years ago. He replaced Babe Ruth as the all-time home run leader in baseball history. He did it against the Dodgers, a very cool thing in Fulton County Stadium, or I guess it was Atlanta Fulton County Stadium. It was, I guess, one of those moments that you kind of remember where you were, and I'll tell you where I was at. I was 11 years from being born. But there may be no other image or video I've seen replayed more, and more stories I've read about, and more documentary-style stories done on any other moment in sports than this one. Because there were so many clear implications on why this is a big deal. Oh, there's a black guy beating a white guy in a white man's sport. I mean, white men have just dominated this sport and have all the records forever. And then you have the eventual home run, and then you have the most iconic, in my eyes, baseball picture ever, which is of Hank Aaron rounding second and two white yahoos coming from out the stands, and the many stories we've read of, we didn't know what was going to happen. There were still a lot of race issues in 1974. Had no idea what was going to happen. And then just to come in, pat him on the back, and basically say, congratulations, you did it, Hank. 7-15. Still the greatest moment in Atlanta sports. It's got to be. I don't care that the Braves won a World Series. I don't care that the Falcons have had good seasons. They've been to a couple of Super Bowls. That's the greatest moment. Because that's a moment that not only endures, but think about what endures about that. There is a significant amount of baseball fandom that still sees Hank Aaron as the home run king, because of what people perceived Barry Bonds to be or not to be on at the time. I remember 7-15, even though I never lived it live. I know the images, the imagery. I know the moving photos and the still ones. I know the story around it. But can you even remember when Barry Bonds hit 756? I think it was at home, but I don't remember. That's what blows my mind about all of this, is I think I know recent history, but sometimes a lot of these recent history moments do not stand up the test of memory. I watched 756 live. Not 100% sure I remember all of it. I kind of still remember 62 for Mark McGwire, being that line drive over the left field line, being a day game. I don't remember much about a moment like that. That's one of the reasons why a lot of people still consider Hammer and Hank still the king of baseball homers. Going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show. Another quick story. Oh, you're going to like this one. Oh. Uh-huh. Let's end the show with a laugh. All right, let's stop being serious for a moment. What is one of the worst afflictions you've ever had as a male? Think about it. Because you may be able to relate with Kirk Merritt, who is a receiver for the Texas A&M Aggies, who are having their spring game today. Now, last October, he was, let's just say, charged with doing something very bad. He exposed himself to two young tutors within a day of each other. Now, he has apologized to these tutors And he has said he has felt very embarrassed that he exposed themselves within an arm reach of each one of these tutors within a day of each other. So back-to-back days, he let it all out. But he's not denied it. But he's got a very interesting and simple explanation. His lawyer says Kirk Merritt has been charged with indecent exposure under the Texas Penal Code. Texas Penal Code. Because of two incidents that happened on two consecutive days. That's not the funny part. The funny part comes now. Although Penal Code, when you're dealing with this, come on, kind of funny. Says, while Kirk is very embarrassed, he did not intend to gratify anyone by exposing himself. The fact is that Kirk had a bad case of jock itch. Oh, yeah. That's what it was. They itchy. I had to let them air out. You just happened to be there while I was doing my treatment. Really? Jock itch? Sports foot. Thanks for listening, guys. What's going on?